Good evening. I'd like to call the meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature for September 4th, 2012 to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein? Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
Here.
Mr. Dennis?
I'm here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean, Claire Bourne will be arriving a little late this evening. Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
We have 13 members present.
Thank you. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I have a couple. I have a proclamation for which I'd like to have join us at the front, Lee Ellen Marvin, director of the local Suicide Prevention and Crisis Service. And there's a representative from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And excuse me, I hope legislators could sit down, please. We have folks coming to the front and first responders as well. So I will read the proclamation, and then Lee Ellen, if you'd like to speak, great. Whereas every 14.2 minutes, someone in the United States dies by suicide, and each year twice as many people die by suicide as by murder. And whereas it is estimated that nearly a million people make a suicide attempt each year. And whereas suicide is the second leading cause of death in the United States for ages 25 to 34, the third leading cause of death among those ages 10 to 24 years of age, and 10th leading cause of death for the population as a whole. And whereas in this country, an estimated 19 million Americans suffer from depression. And whereas suicide is a major national health problem that takes an enormous toll on families, friends, coworkers, and the entire community, dramatically impacting the lives of at least 6 family members, friends, and colleagues who are known as survivors of suicide loss and whose numbers in the United States are estimated to be at least 4.45 million. And whereas those who have thoughts of suicide can be helped through prevention and intervention services, and whereas the prevention of suicide is a matter of concern for all members of the Tompkins County community, now therefore I, Martha Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim September 8, 2012, as Suicide Prevention Day, and the week of September 8th through September 15th as Suicide Prevention Week in Tompkins County, and urge all citizens to support and assist with the education of the community about suicide prevention and the effects of suicide on survivors, and to honor our community members who are working on behalf of suicide prevention and our community members survivors of suicide loss who struggle with this legacy. And I have 3 copies of the resolution.
First, I want to thank Kathy Luz Herrera for submitting this proclamation, and I want to say how honored I am to be here with members of the community who are developing the Out of the Darkness Walk on behalf of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. As we're working on the text of the proclamation, it was Deb Graham, and I'll give her a moment to speak, who pointed out to me that the second leading cause of death for people ages 25 to 34 is suicide. And then I looked at the number of people who died by suicide, and I said, it's comparable to a bad year with influenza disease. So in a bad year of flu when a lot of people die, we go through this every year with suicide. And we work so hard to teach our children to wash their hands and to make sure all of us are vaccinated for our health. But why do we keep the terrible toll of suicide a mystery? Why are we not all working to increase our mental health? The Crisis Line, our key project at Suicide Prevention and Crisis Service, is a key mental health resource for people who cannot or will not pursue traditional mental health care. And we're there 24 hours a day. We're the ones who listen to people, check for their safety, encourage them to go and get help, or at least to talk to a family member and figure out what they can do for the rest of the day to calm down. I'd like to invite you all to be a part of the movement that is represented by the Walk and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, as well as our own local organization. Encourage your friends and family members to treat mental health as a serious issue, to go look for care, and become a volunteer with us, either as an educator or a crisis counselor, or at least take one of our workshops in suicide awareness. Thank you. I'd like to turn things over to Deb Graham from the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention.
Thank you, Lee Ellen. Also, I would like to thank all the members of the Tompkins County Legislature for signing this proclamation. I am the Central New York Area Director for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and our organization is the leading national nonprofit organization exclusively dedicated to understanding and preventing suicide through research, education, advocacy, and to reaching out to people with mental disorders and those impacted by suicide. To fully achieve our mission, our five core strategies are funding scientific research, offering educational programs for professionals, educating the public about mood disorders and suicide prevention, promoting policy and legislation that impacts suicide and prevention, and provide programs and resources for survivors of a suicide loss and people at risk, and involve them in the work of the foundation. 90% of the people, studies show, that die by suicide have a diagnosable mental illness at the time of their death, most often depression, anxiety, and/or substance abuse. While these mental illnesses are treatable, they are often undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, untreated, or undertreated. Many people in our great state of New York are not receiving the appropriate mental health care that could enable them to recover and lead happy, productive, and fulfilling lives. Additionally, the economic impact of suicide and depression, which precedes it, is between $3 and $4 billion annually in our state. By knowing and recognizing the symptoms of depression and encouraging help-seeking behaviors, we can save lives. We can reduce the numbers of suicide deaths in our country. And we can do that by diminishing the stigmas associated with mental illness and suicide by attending the Out of the Darkness Walk, because that's what it does. It raises awareness and it diminishes those stigmas that prevent those that are suffering from seeking help. So on behalf of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, I thank everyone involved in declaring September 8th Suicide Prevention Day in the week of September 8th through the 15th as Suicide Prevention Week. I am honored and I am deeply moved to accept this proclamation in memory of all of our loved ones who have died by suicide, but will never be forgotten by those of us that have been left behind, with my heartfelt appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for all your work. I'd like to announce that I'm going to reorder the agenda slightly. Resolution H on redistricting, we will move up on the agenda in front of the Planning Department presentation, which we will reschedule for 7 o'clock. I've let those staff know that they can go have dinner or do whatever else and come back. And when they come at 7, we will pause whatever else we're doing, and we'll take that presentation at that time. So with that, are there any members of the public who would like to speak to the legislature? We have 3-minute time limits, and if anybody would like to speak, you're welcome to come to the microphone. All right, legislators. First, are there any municipal officials out there, elected officials, that I don't see? Okay, thanks. Kathy.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you for reading the proclamation. I want to point out to the public and the members of the legislature that there is a walk this Saturday, September 8th, at Cass Park. Registration starts at 10:30. It's out of the darkness. It's a fundraiser for the national organization. Deb was a representative. And it promises to be both a contemplative and a joyous occasion. Art exhibit, the chairs exhibit from our local Suicide Prevention and Crisis Services will be there. And there's been a chair added to the exhibit in memory of the local first responders and public safety officials that have lost their life through suicide recently. Clearly, there's a lot of emotion that needs to be gone through among suicide survivors of suicide being the people that are left behind. And the chairs exhibit is a really thought-provoking and deep. It's a deep exhibit. It'll be kind of off to the side so that children won't happen upon it by accident. So you're welcome to bring family members for the walk to raise awareness, understanding that should someone decide to go look at the exhibit, it's there for you. So I hope if you have any more questions, you'll contact me or Suicide Prevention and Crisis Services. They will have a table there and have information. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Luce. And yes, sir, did you not understand what the order of our business is? I'm sorry. Are you a municipal official? I don't recognize you.
I thought you asked for public discussion.
Yeah, I did, and I waited. Go ahead. Would you, once you go to the microphone, you have a 3-minute time limit. Please let us know your name and where you live.
My name is Earl Hall. I live in Ithaca on Trumansburg Road. I have had an ongoing issue with DSS. I've spoke to the legislature back in June, and there was no follow-up. So the problems are continuing. I wrote a letter to the Health and Human Services Committee on August 23rd, and I would like to thank Mr. Shinagawa for responding. As usual, he's very much in tune with the residents of the county. But Mr. Proto, I would like to make certain that if I delay my comments here, we'll be able to have this conversation at the Health and Human Services Committee meeting on Tuesday. Will you open this up to discussion on Tuesday?
May I respond?
Sure.
Mr. Hall, when in response to your long email that you shared with the most of the members of the Health and Human Services Committee, Patricia Carey, Joe Mariana, and our county attorney, I took it upon myself to ask the staff to look into the issues that you brought forward. Because of the confidential nature of what you brought forward, we're waiting for the staff to respond. If you have any new information that you want to bring before the committee next week, you're certainly welcome to come. It's a public meeting. The concern that I have is we may not have a resolve because we haven't, staff is still working on that. But you're certainly welcome to come if you like.
Well, Mr. Proto, I'd have to say that I'm a bit confused because I gave you no specifics about my concerns in that email. And I'm not sure what you consider to be a long email, and I don't want to debate that with you. But I gave you a very brief outline, and I asked you in that email what the proper forum would be to discuss specifics. So you can investigate a complaint, sir, with all due respect,
okay,
that hasn't
Mr.
yet
Hall,
been made.
Actually, this is not really a debate time. So I understand you've had conversation with, did you want to add anything to that, Joe? Or should we just make sure people communicate?
I don't think so. There is going to be staff follow-up, if there hasn't already been. And so there will be follow-up at our level. And I think Frank made the point about, you know, there's an opportunity for the public to speak at Health and Human Services. So that's another forum if Mr. Hall would like to use it.
So
I'm just
trying to gain clarity here. We will discuss this at the Tuesday meeting.
He will be in touch with you after the meeting, after the staff has gotten back to, DSS staff have gotten back to Frank and Joe. Now's not the time to debate.
Well, once again,
so
I would respectfully tell you, Mr. Pretto, you don't have the specifics of my complaint, so I'm not sure what you're going to investigate. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I think what he's asking is that can he come to the Health and Human Services and be more specific during his public comment on Health and Human Services, which he is allowed to do, correct?
Of course.
I mean, we may not have the response and follow-up right away because the staff's still working on it, but he can bring more specifics during public comment at the Health and Human Services meeting. That's standard protocol, right?
Of course. Frank?
Is that correct?
You know, in an effort to be open, please be aware that we at the Health and Human Services Committee, any member of the public is certainly welcome to attend, and we have had, as you know, Nathan, members of the public some that you've invited in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give Mr. Hall a false sense of hope that there'll be any resolve, and we certainly, with all due respect, because the email you sent me this afternoon indicated that you're preparing for a trial and you had to drive 200 miles from Rochester. Again, I want to respect your time also. If there's an opportunity to talk about this and we have something to talk about, I'm awaiting for staff's response because they are looking into, based on the email you sent me, you're certainly welcome to come on Tuesday because it is a public meeting.
Are there any other legislators who'd like to address the public, address each other? All right. Then I would like to turn this over, Resolution H, to the Chair of Government Operations, please. Dooley Kiefer, Resolution H.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wish I could introduce it, but under the rules of the legislature, since I don't expect to vote for it, I won't be able to speak against it. If I introduce it, I have asked a member of the committee, Michael Lane, to introduce it.
Okay. Mike.
Yes, I did receive word from Dooley this afternoon that she'd like me to move this, and I'm more than happy to move this resolution because I think it's the culmination of more than a year, almost close to 2 year process of the Independent Redistricting Commission. And that resolution is adoption of local law number E of 2012, a local law amending the Tompkins County Charter and Code, Chapter 28, for election districts. And I so move, and I'd like to speak to it.
Seconded by Jim. Go ahead, Mike.
As I said, this has been a long time coming. It's been an effort by this legislature, which was passed in a resolution in 2011 by a 14-to-1 vote, to give this, which had previously been a political process, to an independent commission. And making it independent was something that we asked the state legislature to do in its redistricting, and it failed to do. What other counties have tried to do and have failed to do, but which Tompkins County was moving along very, very well to do. We've had a public hearing, and we had heard some folks say that they didn't like the final map that had been proposed by the commission as much as they liked a previous map of the many maps that the commission looked at. But that's not the recommendation of the commission, and I hope that we can ask the chair of the commission who's here tonight if that would be appropriate to speak to that and also to speak to some of the questions that came up after the last legislative meeting, which had to do with the one map, version 5 versus version 3, I believe was the two map differences. This is a pretty important thing, folks, that we're doing here. If we allow politics to come into it at the last minute, well, we're the same as the state legislature.
Thank you, Mike. Carol raised her hand first, and before you mention, Yeah, Jim seconded. Oh, okay. Been moved in second. So let's have that. Well, I saw your hand, then Dooley, and Peter. So, but I think I would like to ask Hank DeLay, chair of the commission, to address the body first. He was not able to be here at the last meeting, and I'm making a note of everybody else's hands. Okay, Hank. Let me just explain. I saw Carol's hand first.
That's fine.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that you got it.
Carol, Dooley, Peter, and Pam. That's the order in which I saw the hands, and that's where, and Brian, and that's where we will go after Hank has spoken. Okay, Hank. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Good evening, everyone. I'm here this evening on the redistricting subject yet again. Commissioner Linda Duttweiler is also here this evening, and I believe at your public hearing 2 weeks ago that I was not able to attend. Commissioner Margaret Hobby and Eric Lerner were here. All have endorsed the report that is before you. I think there were a number of comments, as it's been said, made at the last public hearing, which deserve attention. And with your indulgence, I'd like to say a few words both about the process the Commission followed and several of the issues that were raised by members of the County Legislature and members of the public. As Mr. Lane has said, in response to the resolution adopted by this County Legislature that set forth the guidelines for the work of the Commission, we began meeting in June of last year. You gave the Commission a March 1, 2012 deadline for submitting our report, and we met that deadline. We did so after submitting to you an interim report in December 2011 that indicated our preferred alternative at that point was a 14-member legislature in which all of the districts located in the city of Ithaca would be self-contained. That is, they would not extend into the surrounding town of Ithaca. The preferred alternative in our interim report was the subject of well-attended public hearings in both the town of Dryden and the city of Ithaca. Public reaction to the proposal was overwhelmingly favorable. With very few modifications, that proposal is reflected in the Commission's final recommendation to you in Map 14C, Version 3, Revision 1. When the City of Ithaca's Redistricting Committee recommended a four-ward proposal to the Ithaca Common Council, the County Commission voluntarily modified our recommendation for those legislative districts within the city in order to conform to the City Committee's proposal for a four-ward structure and thereby reduce the potential for voter confusion and administrative difficulties for the Board of Elections. When the comment in that proposal is reflected in what you've referred to as Map 14C, Version 5. When the Common Council subsequently rejected its own committee's recommendation and voted to retain a five-ward structure, the County Independent Redistricting Commission met on June 18th and unanimously restored our original recommendation to you, contained in Map 14C, Version 3, Revision 1, with minor modifications, to reduce the number of sliver election districts within the city of Ithaca. It is this map that serves as the basis for the proposed local law before you. This decision was reached by the Commission for two primary reasons. First, Map 14C, Version 3, Revision 1, was and is the Commission's preferred configuration for the legislative district boundaries in the City of Ithaca. Second, Map 14C, Version 3, Revision 1, when overlaid with the City of Ithaca-approved five-ward boundaries, results in only four unique election districts that we believe can be efficiently managed based on appropriate populations and easily defined geographic areas. By contrast, if you adopt a local law based on map 14C version 5, there would be 9 such unique districts, and these would be much more difficult to accommodate. I should also say a word about the subject of gerrymandering. We usually think about this term in the context of either partisan advantage or racial discrimination, but it can and should be applied to other forms of district manipulations as well, such is often the case in localities or regions that are dominated by a single political party. As I noted at the time of our submission of the Commission's final report last February, at no time did the Commission consider matters of partisan political advantage in the drawing of district lines, nor did we consider the impact of any particular lines on the electoral prospects of individual county legislators. The Commission heard from one member of the public who was clearly concerned that students at Cornell were being elected to public office. The message to the Commission was that we should propose district lines in such a way that the opportunity for students or individuals supported by students would be substantially diminished, while the electoral potential of so-called permanent residents would be enhanced. The electoral successes of both the current mayor of the city of Ithaca as a former member of the Ithaca Common Council and that of the vice chair of the county of this county legislature, who is now a candidate for the United States House of Representatives, were cited as indicative of this, quote, student problem. While the Commission considered the potential voter turnout of census districts containing a large number of students for purposes of election district staffing by the Board of Elections, we did not consider potential electoral advantage for any particular group. We neither packed all students into a single district, nor cracked or divided them into to the maximum extent possible. We included them in proposed districts that were compact and reflective of existing neighborhoods. Incidentally, if it were constitutionally permissible to consider only, quote, permanent residents for population purposes, the city of Ithaca population would generate only 3 members of either a 15-member or a 14-member legislature. Gerrymandering can be employed for so-called progressive purposes as well as partisan purposes. For example, I've been told by members of this body that even though the city of Ithaca's 2010 population, including its student population, generates less than 4.5 seats out of a total of 15, we should nevertheless draw district lines in such a way as to enhance the probability that 5 members of either a 14-member or a 15-member legislature would reside in the city of Ithaca. It has been said that this would be the socially and politically progressive thing to do, and that plans for additional housing in the city of Ithaca should ultimately justify such an outcome by 2020. The Commission did not follow that advice. We based our recommendations on the actual census numbers for 2010. There is widespread concern today over the common practice of legislators picking their constituents rather than the other way around. This county legislature took a bold and positive step in the opposite direction when it appointed the Independent Redistricting Commission. There is no such thing as a perfect plan, but the Commission's recommendation to you is the result of a highly transparent and nonpartisan process, a process that was widely acclaimed at the time we submitted our final report last February. You have a choice. You can either adopt the Commission's recommendation, thereby take credit for your leadership on the subject of redistricting among all the counties of New York State, or you can tinker with the lines at the end of the process and return to the old way of doing things. I urge adoption of the local law based on the commission's recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Hank. Appreciate your being here this week. Carol, then Dooley, Peter, Pam, Brian, and Pat is what I have.
Wait, I'd like to get at the end of that list and so pass for now.
You're passing. Okay.
Please put me back up.
Okay. Dooley.
Well, thank you. I hope this discussion continues until Leslyn appears, since she is one of our city representatives. The reason I didn't introduce this resolution, which I have supported for a long time, is because for me the situation changed after the public hearing. The resolution was not on the Government Operations Committee agenda at its meeting on the 17th of August because the public hearing had not yet been held. And I did not want to have to vote on a recommendation for a local law until after the public hearing had been held, even though it's not uncommon for committees of the legislature to have a resolution ready to go before a public hearing is held. So that's why it was not on the GO agenda, although it got added late, and that's why it was not on the legislative agenda in time for our last, for the public hearing meeting of the legislature. At the public hearing, I heard comments which gave me pause. And so I thought about what my position would be after the public hearing. I've been out of town, so I've been out of touch with a lot of discussion. The work of the Independent Redistricting Commission, I thought, was excellent. I have every intention of following their recommendation to have 14 districts. I think they did a really good job with that, and it was fascinating to hear Mr. Lerner summarize the evolution of his thinking on the number of districts at our public hearing. So 14 districts is fine. The city has gone off and done its thing. But hearing from former county legislators made me reconsider my position on where the boundaries within the city should be. I certainly don't believe I am tinkering with lines in order to favor one political elected person over another political elected person. In fact, we didn't discuss until the media publicized it what going to 14 district might mean. And I have no idea how the incumbents feel about this, and that is not affecting my thinking at all in this. Hank DeLay uses words very well and suggests that anyone who is not in favor of what the commission recommended must have something devious in mind and what makes us as bad as every other political body. For me, that's not what's motivating me. When I heard Stuart Stein and then Nancy Shuler talk about how it's possible to have a district that is partly East Hill, partly South Hill, partly College Town, with a mixture of residents, students, graduate students, permanent residents of all stripes, and that they have that has worked well, Stuart said, for about 30 years, that gave me pause. And I see no reason not to consider seriously what was our Independent Redistricting Commission's second recommendation to us, which is, I think, the one called version 5 instead of version 3. And that's what I asked to see the maps for at our last, after the public hearing. I wanted to see the details of the district lines. And I looked at them, and they make sense to me. The only thing I would ask if we do go in a different direction is that we ask our professional staff, by which I mean Greg Potter and Svetla Borowska, the IT people, to see if there are any possible tiny modifications that could be made to reduce sliver district difficulties. That's the unfortunate characteristic of version 5, but it's not a terminal problem as far as I'm concerned. I think I'll stop talking now. I have more to say, but that's enough for now.
Okay, thank you. Peter?
I don't think there's any issue that I've really been involved with in this legislature that is I have stronger feelings about than the independent redistricting. I've seen politics corrupt in a lot of ways, and this is one of the ways that politics is corrupt, the notion of legislators choosing their district rather than vice versa. I spent some time on the Democratic State Committee talking about the problems of corruption, and there was only one answer to the problems of corruption was independent ethics committee. The word independent is the core. Everybody's against corruption. If you ask the leader of the Senate, the leader of the Assembly, the governor of New York, are you for corruption or against it? They'll say, I am strongly against corruption. I want clean officials, clean legislators. But in fact, they don't act that way. But there's only one way of going about that and getting it is to have an independent ethics committee. With redistricting, the same thing. People can give you 100 reasons why it is that the districts that they have put together are the right district. Well, it's very funny shape, right? But I'm trying to get all the farmers together or something like that. It's basically the job of drawing districts is basically a technical job. You know, every time I hear the word students, I think I'd like to substitute the word Jews or Negroes for those words and see how you respond to it. We have to draw this district so we don't have too many blacks here because, frankly, you know, I can't really trust them as people who can make good judgments. Nobody would say that out loud. But you have to say the same thing about students. The wonderful thing about America is one man, one vote. Doesn't matter whether the man or the woman is 80 or 18. It's one vote. Doesn't matter whether they're smart or dumb. It's one vote. Doesn't matter whether they see see things like a Republican does or see things like a Democrat does. It's one vote. To me, it's really comes closer to being a sacred principle than anything else I know. Therefore, I think that if I had the choice of having a district that was a little bit better, according to my views, than that which the independent districting came up with, there's no question in my mind I would vote for the independent redistricting because the notion of having a system whereby the legislators don't choose what their districts are like is so important that I think even that one could take a plan which is somewhat not quite as good, which I do not think is the case here. I listened to those legislators came up. I listened to Eric Lerner came up. He said it was the only plan that made sense, he said, was the plan that the independent redistricting came up with. I listened to John Marcham, I think it was, and frankly, I just plain disagreed with him. When I used to work in the Third Ward. I was part of the Third Ward Committee for 20 years in the 25 years in the city. And we had three districts, and we didn't choose them. We were given those districts by somebody else. One was a student district. It was impossible to deal with, but nobody wanted to slough it off, okay? That was just part of our operation, and we dealt with it. We didn't choose which ones. I represent a district. People in the on Pine Tree Road have different concerns than people in the cigarette streets. They have different concerns, but they're both in my district, and that's the district as it was given to me, and that's the district I have to deal with. And I just do not think that it makes sense to have a legislative district put together by some notion of who people, what people go together with other people or what particularly the legislature likes. So it would take a monumental thing to make me vote against what the redistricting committee has done, and I haven't heard anything monumental.
Thank you, Peter. Pam, then Brian.
Yes, I'd like to move an amendment to the motion. You all have it in the last item in your red packet. And I'd like to move this, and then I would like to speak. So I'm moving this motion.
You want to read the title, or you want?
Well, it's the same. It's the same title.
It's
adoption of local law number E of 2012, a local law amending the Tompkins County Charter and Code, Chapter 28, election districts. And I so move.
Second by Carol, and it says proposed amendment submitted by legislators Chalk, Kiefer, and McAsee. If everybody can find that.
Yeah.
Okay, Pam.
I'm very sorry that this discussion immediately went to the accusatory stage. I don't think it's helpful. I don't think that it is true. And I think that it creates a sense that one side is doing something unsavory and while the other side is not. I have nothing to gain by either of these options. If I run, I would run against either Carol Chalk or Nathan Shinagawa. If Nathan doesn't win, or Nathan's successor, someone from certainly. So it is not that. I live in an area. I live on South Hill. It's an area that is partly students. It's an area that I've lived in since 1977. I live and have been active in my neighborhood, including students. Every year we have a welcome to our neighborhood event for the students who come, who move in, because we want them to be part of our neighborhood. We want them to be part of our community. So I think that suggesting that we are doing this because we don't think that students should be part of our community is just not true. And I think it does not help our discussion when we get these accusatory comments. I also think that I do not see that this option is like all the other options, as Mike suggested. This option was actually approved by the Redistricting Commission. This option passed muster with the Redistricting Commission. Clearly, it wasn't their first choice, but it was an acceptable choice. And I also don't think it adds to the discussion when we are when we are accused of politicizing this effort. We are taking one of two options that was approved by the Redistricting Commission. So I hope people will look at this objectively. I think that the people who came from at our public hearing were articulate. They reflect what many of us experience in the city. We want our students to be part of our community, but we feel that we if a more balanced kind of district makes more sense. And in no way does it indicate any kind of attempt to discourage student participation. I think that just is not a helpful thing to be adding to our discussion. It's certainly part of the reason why I'm supporting this. I'm sure I'll think of other things along here too.
Thank you, Pam. We've got Brian, Pat, Carol, then Jim.
Thanks. Sorry, I had to step off for a minute, but I'm actually speaking to or have a question about the revised one that's on the table right now. And as it reads, we have version 5 would conform to the April 20th, 2012 recommendation. And I would like Hank to speak to this because my recollection is, and there's been so many of these kind of bannered around that I'm really getting confused, but their recommendation was their recommendation back in February, which was what's on the board. it wasn't until the city was deciding whether to go with 8 or 10 people on council, and when they were discussing 8, this seemed to be a viable alternative to accommodate that, which we don't, I mean, we're two separate and distinct bodies, and we didn't necessarily have to do that, but we entertained it. I don't know as we grasped it actually as a recommendation, but that's my recollection. And if you don't mind, I would like to have Hank come back up again and speak to that, just so I'm clear.
Sure, Hank.
I think you're quite correct. The version 5 was not favored by the county commission. It was only after the city committee, by a split vote, proposed it to the common council that we thought it will be a mess if we have 1 4-ward structure going forward in the city with a different 4 legislative districts at the county level. Once the Common Council rejected the 4 wards proposed that is reflected in version 5, the County Commission immediately said, this doesn't make any sense to us. It wasn't our preference. Yes, as I said, there is no such thing as a perfect plan. There are many plans that can meet the standard of population deviation and so forth. Version 5 did that. But that wasn't what the independent commission wanted to support. We would have done it for the administrative convenience of the Board of Elections so that you didn't have more confusion. But once that was off the table, then we unanimously in the independent commission withdrew that and said that version 3 revision, as in revision 1, is our recommendation.
As it had been prior to that
There were 1 or 2 blocks or so that were revised in revision 1 in order to reduce the number of those slivers. That's correct. But those were the only changes.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
And thank you.
Sure. Okay. Pat.
I came tonight prepared to support the proposed amendment that has been moved and seconded, because I was convinced that given the fact that both of the options that have been put forward, the one in our agenda as well as this one, had been approved by the redistricting commission, and I had been convinced that the revised resolution would more accurately reflect the input that we had had at the public hearing. And I do think that it's important. There's a reason why you have a public hearing. If we're not going to take into consideration what we hear at a public hearing, then why bother to have it? So I really didn't have a big problem with supporting the changed resolution here. However, in listening to this discussion, I don't think I fully understood, even though I'm sure it was explained to us as we went through it before, but we've seen a lot of revisions, we've seen a lot of iterations of this over the months as we've gone through it, and I don't think I fully understood the difference in the way that the commission was looking at the support that they gave to what we now have before us as revision versus the language of the original resolution that's in our agenda packet for tonight. And given what I have heard here of that discussion of this meeting, I think that the better thing to do is to support the language that is in the agenda packet that we received. Now, we're not at the point yet where I have to vote, and I think that that's what I'm going to do, but I'm still trying to listen carefully to the discussion. If I do that, I certainly do not want to in any way to reflect the negative comments that I think have been made tonight about the motives of the people that have suggested the revision. I don't see it as being so much for political purposes or as a reflection on our student population as I do the desire to reflect things that were heard in the public hearing. And I would just like to make that clear.
Thank you, Pat. I've got Carol, Jim, then Mike.
Well, I obviously support the revision as Pam moved it and I seconded it. I think that is the option that allows us to respond to testimony that we heard at the hearing. While adhering to one of the recommendations that we heard from our independent redistricting commission. Our job as legislators is to give the best voice we can to the people of the county as a whole and to the areas that we represent, as it is to spend the hard-earned tax dollars of the people who live here. Our commission has come to us with three recommendations over a period of time, and each of which I don't have with me. I have it somewhere in this big, long pile that I was going to sort out as we went through the rest of the agenda, so I'm not quite prepared to pull out the right piece of paper with the text of the second recommendation from the commission. But it did come to us with a pretty strong wording that second recommendation was one which allowed us to respond, which allowed them, and in turn us, to respond to concerns raised by one of our municipalities. The charge that we gave to the commission and that the commission responded well to in coming back with all of the narrowed choices from the infinite number to the 26 they ended up looking at to the three that they recommended and to each of them in turn of the three that they did recommend had to do with the concerns of our municipalities. We asked them to make sure to not separate particular municipalities, so the town of Dryden or Ulysses or Freeville, to not split those in half and to do the best job that they could to make sure that our municipalities were made whole and represented in good ways. The town of Ithaca came in very strongly and said, we don't want to have the number of people that we have representing us and the commission, and in turn we are looking at options, at only at options that honor that concern. So it doesn't quite make sense to me that we are even talking about giving any less consideration to the people of the city of Ithaca. To do any less for our city residents than we were willing to ask our commission to do, and in turn to take their recommendation for our other municipalities. The wording, I believe, from our when we went to hearing, we referred specifically that I do have in front of me. We referred specifically to the three recommended plans of apportionment that had been referred to us, one on February 22, 2012, a second recommendation on April 20th, and our wording was following the City Redistricting Committee's recommendation for city lines. That was the wording that was in there. So it just makes sense to me to take the one recommendation that we have had on our floor allows us to respond both to the concerns that we heard from the city, they called theirs a committee rather than a commission, and to the concerns raised by all but one of the speakers, I believe, at our own hearing. And that is the one that would be addressed in the revision. The revision, I would point out that the revised Resolution H would not make the new lines, the Map 14C Version 5, a done deal. It would at least bring it to the same level of detail that the one on our floor tonight is at. It would ask our staff to bring it to the a completed, finished resolution with the boundaries defined in the same way as the one on the floor, and would require us to hold another hearing. So there would be chance for further discussion. So to do any less than that seems to me to be not honoring the request of one municipality when we had been willing to honor the requests of all of our other municipalities. So I urge my colleagues to do so. Thank you.
Before I go down the list, Carol, you said something I'm fuzzy on some of the details and maybe it's unclear. I'd like to ask Hank if you can answer, or maybe Linda. The city committee, am I correct? I thought they recommended a four ward plan and a five ward plan presented both to council, and then the council rejected them both and did a different five. Is that right, or did I get it wrong?
The city committee recommended a four ward and an eight ward alternative to the common council. Those were the two recommendations of the city committee. The common council did not accept its own committee's recommendation, rejected that, substituted of a five-ward, 10-member common council.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So can I clarify then? So what I was referring to is the fact that the city's own committee that operated independently of council said, if you're going to divide, make four lines in the city instead of the five, this is the way to do the four lines. Mm-hmm. It was the same four lines that our own independent redistricting commission said, yes, if you're going to do four lines, at their middle recommendation. Is that Hank is, let the record reflect that Hank is nodding his head.
I'm saying that if yes. The city was moving to adopt those four wards, then the county commission said, okay, that's not what we recommended, but it meets the constitutional standard in terms of population deviation and so on. And to avoid having one set of four wards and a different set of four county legislative districts, so it would accept that. Once the city rejected the committee's proposal, we withdrew that recommendation and unanimously restored our only recommendation to you is version 3, revision 1.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, I understand that your only recommendation on the table now that you're giving us is was that last one. But I wanted it to be clear that our the drawing of those four districts was done independently by the city. It was common council. We are not – this resolution that Pam and I put forward, along with Dooley's help, does in no way asks to redraw lines in a political way. It's just asking that we go to those lines that were recommendation. It's recommended at some point by both of those independent commissions, even though it was not later adopted by the city's common council.
Martha, may I just ask a quick clarification so I can see what you are? People are talking about a revised resolution. Is there something somewhere that I can follow?
Should be in your packet.
Red
back of your red folder.
Thank you. I'll look in there.
At the bottom of it.
Okay, I've got Jim, Mike, then Peter.
Thank you, Martha.
This is what we're talking about.
The August 21st meeting was one that was very interesting to me because I only spent 2 hours here and went home and had the opportunity to watch all of you and think about some of the things that I heard during the public hearing. And while I don't believe tonight has been accusatory in any way, shape, or form against anything, but I did believe what I heard standing behind me from former county legislators, who I have great respect for, was accusatory, and it was against students in many respects. And let me just give you a fact. The mayor of Ithaca got elected in November, won every district of every ward, and it was determined at the end of all of that he probably got 30 student votes, if that, at the max. In the primary season, he won the primary by winning downtown wards, breaking even in other places. And, you know, that's where we are. So it's so hard for me to hear about students and what they do and what they can't do. I was on the city council in the third ward and on the same committee Peter Stein was on when we had 3-1, 3-2, and 3-3. We had many students in 3-1, and there were 97 registrants, it seems to be a number, and 35 of them would come out and vote in every town council election. But I always, the problem I always had was, as I voted for things in the city of Ithaca that seemingly benefited students, I got criticized for that. And some things I used to say to the residents were, you know, why are we all here? We're all here because of those students. If they weren't here, we'd be Watkins Glen and without a racetrack. So, you know, the students add something to Tompkins County that no other place has. I cannot support the new resolution. I think the independent commission did exactly what we asked them to do, and they came up based on the population and the movement of the population in the county, and it only seems fair and reasonable that we should support that as we move forward here.
Okay, Mike, Peter, then Frank.
A couple of things. I hope we don't support this substitute resolution tonight. I wanted to say that at the public hearing, about 50-50 the people who spoke in favor of what had been recommended by the commission were about equal to the people who came and spoke because they didn't like one city district the way it was drafted. And to say that that commission didn't spend equal time with the city districts compared to the outlying districts, I don't think is correct. Most of the I don't know whether you call it controversy or whether the discussions centered around the city and trying to coordinate with the city and working on those districts, which are more difficult. The biggest problem I have with this proposed local law amendment is that the process is improper. We set a process of what we do when we in 2011 passed the resolution to set forth the Independent Redistricting Commission and how it would operate. And that commission is still viable. An effort to retire that commission and the Government Operations Committee was voted down, so that did not come forward. The commission is still viable, thank heavens. And I want to read to you the procedure from the governing document, the governing resolution. It says, following a public hearing, the legislature may adopt a local law or may refer the plan and or alternatives back to the commission with written comments. That shall only be done one time. Upon receipt, the commission shall consider the legislature's comments and may make revisions to the plan and or alternatives
and return the same to the Government Operations Committee for retransmittal to the legislature, or the commission may decline to make changes and so advise the legislature in writing with its reasons. In that event, the legislature shall proceed to adopt a plan for redistricting. So this resolution amendment basically leapfrogs over that requirement of it to be returned to the commission. If this body does not feel that it can accept the proposal that was given to us by the commission, then we need to vote that down and return it to that commission with our written comments as to why we don't think that's proper. And then they can decide what they want to do with it and respond back to us. That's the procedure we set forward, not that we just now start tinkering with things. And to say that we have three resolutions or three recommendations and we can just kind of pick and choose is not proper either. We have one recommendation and we have a procedure. If we don't like that recommendation, we have a procedure to what we're supposed to do. And that's why I have a problem with what's in front of us here as a substitute.
Thank you, Mike. I've got Peter, Frank. I put myself in there and Dooley.
Clarification. Okay. Did Mike, you were reading from that, did you say the legislature may send it back? Was it may or is required to? Because you characterized it as required, and I wasn't sure which it actually said.
May.
There are two choices.
Well, but it says may.
I'm asking Mike what he, I thought he read may.
Well, there's an alternative of it may adopt it or it may return it. I don't think that we may do that or we may do whatever we please. I don't think that that's what the intention was.
When you said required, then that was just a misstatement. It's may. Thank you.
No, it's required. I believe that the use of the word may there is either they adopt it or they send it back.
It should have said either or. Right. Might have been better clear. But that was the intent.
The charge doesn't have any other course of action outlined.
No, but after public hearings, the legislature is always free to do what it's free to do. Or it may use the commission again. I agree with that. It just wasn't a requirement, I think. So Mike clarified it. Thank you.
Peter.
I'd like to just answer a couple of things that Carol has said. They've been said by other people, but I want to make them clear that this notion that there were three plans, or really two plans, the third one was just a small modification of the others, but that there were two plans. First they said A, then they said B, then they said A, then they said B, and then they decided on B, as if there was nothing else happening. That's incorrect. The only time that the independent committee supported the plan, I can't remember the numbers, the one that you're presenting, Carol, is when they thought that there were going to be five or eight wards in the city. Now, what they did is they proposed a plan which by itself they thought was inferior to the first one, but when coupled to the fact that there would be four wards in the city, okay, that's why they went that way. But when there weren't four wards in the city, there was no good reason for them to support that because they thought it was an inferior plan. So it isn't that they just sort of changed their minds. It was the only reason to go to the proposal that you made was that they thought it was better to keep the lines for city council and the lines for legislature the same. Otherwise, it's quite confusing for a lot of people. So that's clearly what it was. The other point about, you know, when speaking before and talking about trying to substitute different words for students, was I accusing people of doing that, of acting in a way that was dishonest? No, I wasn't accusing anybody of doing that. But in a legislator can vote whichever way he or she wishes, and people will by themselves decide why a legislator voted that way. We certainly know that just because a legislature votes a certain way and says that's why he votes that way, it doesn't mean that that's why he votes that way. He votes that way maybe because he made a deal with somebody else or he's going to get something for it. Legislators are not... What? That happens in... I'm not talking about this group. I'm talking about Congress, okay? But the point is that the only way of insulating yourself from arguing that you're making a decision for nefarious reasons is to have that decision made by somebody else. I mean, we believe that a legislator, it seems reasonable to me to say the legislature can make whatever decisions they want, except there's one that isn't right for a legislature to make, even though they have the legal power to do so, is to determine what their district should look like. That's really what the independent redistricting is all about. And so anytime you don't follow it and you take a plan that is recommended by the Independent Redistricting Committee, and then you change it, people will say that the reason you're changing it is because of political reasons, whether it's right or not. That's what people said about Suffolk County, or one of the two, Suffolk or Nassau, that was going to have an independent redistricting, and they didn't like the answer they got, and so they jumped it and they made their own plan. And what everybody said is, see, it's a corrupt body. And whether it's right or not, I have no idea, okay? But I know that when you set up a redistricting committee and then you reject their findings, you set yourself up for a cynical belief by the part of the people.
All right, I've got Frank.
Well, I'd like to take some exception.
No, you're in the list.
In mine now.
You're in the list. I've got Frank. I put myself in there, Carol, and then Pam. Frank's next.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I have a couple of things, and I'd like to ask your permission to call on Hank again for one clarification.
Oh, okay. Yes,
okay,
of
thanks.
Yeah.
Peter, I want to thank you for clarifying the corruption thing, especially as this, going back to your remark about a half hour ago about how no one wants to be corrupt and we're ethical.
About what?
About corruption. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm looking at the maps, version 5, and the one we received with our agenda a couple of meetings back. And I need a clarification. Maybe Craig can help me out here. In District 1, on the former map that in the lower right-hand corner is dated July 23rd, it says the deviation from the ideal average is 8.9%.
But Frank, hold on. You're now looking at the new set that we got that's version 5.
Not the set that came with today's agenda.
You're looking
It's the one that came a couple of meetings back.
Okay.
Okay.
And which district are you looking at?
District 1.
Okay.
Just
can
for clarity.
Craig
just
put that on the board? The map as he did last time?
Well,
I'm not clear on what's being requested.
Okay. Let me. The deviation from the ideal average on the version we received a couple of meetings back was 8.9%. The one that came with today's packet for the same proposed district has the average deviation of 3.8%, and the lines for District 1 look exactly the same to me.
And so do the numbers of people in.
And the numbers of people, the population.
My apologies, that's a typo.
Right. What should it be?
It should be 8.9.
So the one for today should be 8.9
that's
also?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. The second thing, thanks. Hank.
And if
you,
I could just continue.
Oh.
Version 3, revision 1, the deviation is 8.9%. Version 5, the deviation is 9.15%.
Say that again, 9.15.
For
District 1?
For version 5.
Okay.
The overall deviation from the largest
to the smallest
across the county.
Would you say those numbers again? For version 5, the overall for all 14 districts, the overall...
9.15%.
Okay.
In version 5. And for 14C, version 3, revision 1, which is what's before you, total deviation is 8.90%.
Okay.
Hank, earlier this evening, and I'm sorry, we get muddled in a lot of other discussion. Can you once more say what the impact will be on the, if the proposed amendment is passed, what the impact will be on the Board of Elections?
Well, the Board of Elections has expressed its concern to the Commission that by requiring under version 5 nine unique election districts, many of which would be quite small in population, that this will be much more difficult for the Board of Elections to administer than version 3 revision 1, which has only four such unique sliver districts. And this is the result of having five wards in the city and a different number of county legislative districts, namely four districts.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you,
Madam. Frank, okay. Well, I'm going to myself. I wanted to bring Greg back to the microphone. And Frank, thanks for that catch. I'm looking at the other deviations, which are 3.0, 3.32, and 3.57, also typos?
Yes.
On today's version?
Yes, on today's version.
Right.
We did those second round of maps in a rush. We had to get them out the door in about an hour in order to meet the deadline to get on the agenda, so my apologies.
So okay.
Can you run down what the deviations are for today's maps?
I can do that, yes. Right now?
Yeah.
I think so. I have to go through my folders to see if I have the information.
Thanks. All right, but well, let me ask you a couple questions, then he'll get back to that one. Okay. So, in general, you were part of all of the deliberations. You were there for all the meetings, and you had, you know, your technical advice was critical to making all this happen. So the Board of Elections folks aren't here, but maybe you could speak from the staff point of view to what Hank has mentioned about the unique sliver districts and about any other issues that you might see related to 3 versus 5.
The version 3 revision 1 that you have on the board, the final reiteration of that resulted in four areas, that, as Hank had mentioned, which would need to serve as unique election districts in the city of Ithaca. The populations or the geography of all those areas as unique election districts in the city of Ithaca are very efficient and very manageable. In other words, you can explain very specifically to the citizens where they're located and they make sense. If you took the city's final decision and overlaid it with the 14C V5 or the alternative drawing of the lines in the city of Ithaca from a legislative perspective, it results in nine unique election district areas. Many of which, I think four of which, have a population of less than 300 people per the census and are very difficult to explain geographically because they're bounded by creeks and not necessarily unique neighborhoods within the city of Ithaca. So they're complicated and difficult to explain as well as present to the public in map.
Okay. And if there's anything else that you have, any other response?
There was one point, just to clarify something. When Hank was discussing the total deviations with his conversation with Frank, the point, I believe, that got a little bit jumbled there or lost was that the total deviation of the current scenario that's was written in local law 14C B3 Rev 1 for the entire project or the entire proposal is 8.9%. The deviation for 14C V5 for the entire county, not just the legislative district 1, is 9.15. So the deviation is less with V3 than it is V5, which is a positive thing.
Okay, and then if you could let us know when you have the numbers for...
Certainly.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much. I have Carol and Pam.
Oh, no, I just wanted to take some exception to having words put in my mouth.
with statements like clearly what it was that the city of Ithaca was doing with its four districts. I think that the city of Ithaca, I just want to make sure that you understand that what I was saying was that the city of Ithaca, their own independent committee, said if you're going to divide the city into four districts, this is a fairer way to do it, where there will be more equitable and fair representation among those four districts. Ultimately, Common Council did, yes, decide that sticking with the way that neighborhoods are divided with five districts worked for them better, and we could argue till the cows come home about whether they should have done that or shouldn't have done that. You know, that is clearly a political decision, but what we're asking for tonight is just that we honor the lines that the municipality's own group said made sense, and that our own commission came back and said, yes, if they're going to use those, that would make sense for us as well. I'd also just like to take exception to the reference to the difference between version 3 and version 3 revised. Was only small modifications. Again, if you live in one of the blocks that was modified, that's not small. It puts you, in a district with people that you weren't in before. So, again, it's, if people who don't live in the city are going to characterize how the city operates, I just think we should, do it carefully. And I'm just a proponent of listening to what each of our municipalities. I'm not asking for anything for the city that I wasn't willing to go along with for all of the rest of our municipalities. And I'd like to not be have words put in my mouth. No, thank you.
Okay, and Pam.
I think that the redistricting commission did a really excellent work. I obviously don't agree with all that they came up with, but their decisions were rational decisions. They, if you look at the choices that were there, they were rational choices. And so I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. And as part of that, I think that they, at one point, they saw version 5 as a rational choice. That may not have been their first choice, But you choose among all these things, and you make imperfect decisions. But you, if you have a rational reason for coming to the conclusion that you have, then that is all that you need. And so I think that the choice for version 5, which is what we are proposing, was at one point what they considered to be a rational choice. Their second choice, but a rational choice. And so I feel as if that is as much a part of this process as the version that we have that was approved before. I think that the people in the city, I think that there has to be some thought here about that 4 out of the 5 elected representatives in this feel that the choice went from what they talked to their constituents, the people who came to the public hearing, that this was something that made more sense to our residents. And I'm not quite sure why people are so hesitant to take into consideration the fact that the people who live in the city are wanting this choice.
Okay, I've got Will and then Kathy.
Thank you, Martha. I've been listening to all the comments and trying to make sense of conflicting values. I really, really believe in the process that we set up, which was to try to take an independent group of citizens who did not have a vested interest in the outcome, and to look at it and take it seriously. And I think they really did it. I think we should be proud that we set this in motion. I really, really uncomfortable with the notion of coming in at the last minute and substituting something that, that based on our own sense that we think we know better at the last moment. We have that power. And as Peter pointed out, there may be situations where we could exercise that. I don't think we should do that tonight. So I cannot support this amendment. I would, however, be open to the possibility of sending the two plans back to the commission and having them take one more look based on some of the comments that were risen, that were raised at the hearing. I thought we heard some very, very good comments from city residents. I certainly believe it's important to whatever extent to respect neighborhoods and to try to keep those coherent in terms of districts. It is not always possible. But as I say, I will be voting against this amendment.
Okay. And Kathy Lewis.
Thank you. So I'm going to make this brief, but as Peter pointed out, some people do pay attention to how we vote, and I agree with Peter in that. I disagree, however, that having somebody call us names for how we vote or think something about how we vote should intimidate us in any way or make us vote any differently because we're afraid of what someone may think. People are going to think what they think. It's a free country. Thank God for that. And that's why I respect the fact that we decided to have an independent redistricting commission. However, there's some points that haven't been made tonight that I'd like to make real quick as a way of explaining why I'm taking the position I am. I don't believe in any sense of the word that by having opinions on our constituents and on the geographic representations under which they vote, we are in any way selecting our districts. It's pretty obvious why, because it'll be a whole new election cycle that comes up when these districts are adopted, and people can choose how they want to, and the public certainly will choose how it wants to. These would not be our districts. I do want to make it clear, though, that I don't have any illusions that the job I do is not political. I'm proud of the fact that it's a political job I do. I don't think politics is a dirty word, and having a political perspective on the effect of the redistricting is valid. It's something that I can be a subject matter expert on. And it's funny to me that people that all year long study up about a particular issue and put themselves up as pretty much self-taught subject matter experts after having consulted with experts, suddenly when it comes to the idea, the notion of redistricting, they say, oh no, we're going to leave that to the independents. After all, it's a way that we connect with the public by representing them. So I'm going to say to you, I might not be an expert on this, but I'm entitled to an opinion about it, and I think I come by it honestly. Personally, I believe that a lot of the problem that we're having comes from the charge that was given to us. I can't quote it exactly, and I'm not as good at jargon as some people are, but it seemed to me that one of the things we wanted to maintain was a standard population deviation as much as possible, that we wanted... I may be wrong about the particulars of this, administrative convenience, and we wanted to reduce the number of sliver districts. Maybe those are the two, the same ones together. But there were elements of the charge. I think that maybe what's gotten us into trouble here, okay, we live in a unique kind of, maybe it's not unique to all the world, but here we are. We've got the city, we've got the county, and pretty much the city is encircled by the town. If we really want to eliminate sliver districts, and I'll say this tongue-in-cheek, but I'll just say it because it's something that we should perhaps consider, maybe we should come up with a district that looks like that, or a few of them that look like that, encircling the city. Because after all, that would eliminate the sliver districts, wouldn't it? Isn't that what we want to do? I mean, if that is the source of the problem, and I think it is, maybe we need to come up with a way to solve it that directly addresses the issue, which is... I'm not sure. And in the same way that Peter says, we can't tell what people think about what we think, I'm not going to cast aspersions on anybody. I know because I went to a couple of the meetings that both the city and the county redistricting commissions worked really hard with what they were given. It's not just about numbers. There's a whole lot going on, and they did the best they could. But I believe that the whole notion of minimizing sliver districts represented a flawed charge. And that's part of why we are where we are. Isn't it interesting that the city reps are concerned about this? I believe if this body respects its elected representatives, it would notice that. And rather than standing on process, which after all, I'm not sure that a chair's charge has the force of law. I don't believe it does. And many times when the chair or a body gets a charge, there are adjustments to it. And I think this situation is no different. In closing, I'd just like to say that in terms of administrative convenience, I know that in these hard times, we try to figure out things, ways we can do things as cheaply as possible, but I doubt that there's anybody out there that would say that democracy has to be a victim of administrative convenience, and that although the public may be a little confused about, am I in this ward, am I in this district, that district, or the other, and I see that in the current districts as they are, but people still manage to vote. I don't think that there's a way that having, for example, sliver districts is going to discourage people from voting. And I also believe that people have communities of interest that won't be dissolved by accepting a revised charge. Guess what? That's how I'm voting.
All right, I've got Brian, but first let me read from the charge and I'll pass it to Kathy after I'm finished here. Factors to consider are minimization of population variance among districts, compactness of districts, practicable consistency with existing municipal boundaries and neighborhoods within Tompkins County, balance and reasonableness of representation for the diversity of citizens residing in all parts of the county. In considering a plan, the commission shall not consider the location of the residences of incumbents. And there are a number of other things about the number of seats. Although it may be considered a factor, the commission shall not automatically assume a particular number of legislative districts for the city of Ithaca based on the number of city designated wards. The commission shall make every effort to minimize the use of sliver election districts formed when county legislative districts are not coterminous with municipal ward or neighborhood boundaries. However, should the commission find sliver districts desirable for the benefit of the best plan, it may recommend them. In its deliberations, the commission shall consider possible redistricting impacts on communities of interest such as rural or minority populations. It may also consider the effect on student populations. So I've read that for the benefit of the public because I think most of us pretty much know what's there, but I wanted to make sure the public knew what's in the chart. And then I've got Brian, that's the last speaker so far. Brian.
I will yield to Julie.
If you want to talk, please talk. I'm being passed a note, which I need to read.
I was going to call the question.
Thank you.
Okay. Julie, you have the numbers from Greg?
I do have them.
Oh, I thought I saw. No, you have something else, Julie?
I packed my maps. Yeah, about an hour ago, when I spoke earlier, I said that the commission did really good work. I support their recommendation to have 14 districts, which was the huge change. And where the lines in the city should go is what I was up in the air about until after the public hearing, and I thought about it. And I heard Hank say earlier that, and he said it more than once, that the thing that's being called the second recommendation of the commission, the thing that is version 5, it met the test. It was within the acceptable bounds of deviation. So the deviation is less than 10%. They found it acceptable. It wasn't their first choice. And I don't think we should argue about that. But to me, the fact that they found it tolerable at all meant I didn't have to worry about it as much as I might have otherwise. And so I found myself free to contemplate version 5, which Greg is going to give us correct numbers on. It does not surprise me that it has slightly larger deviation countywide than the one that the commission recommended, because the commission really dug in and did wonderful work. But it doesn't say to me that considering the substitute of version 5 is therefore something that we should be ashamed of
even talking about. It makes sense to me because it makes sense to city people, and it's the city that we're talking about. How my colleagues on the legislature are going to vote on this, the colleagues from the city, is what I'm really interested in. When we do a roll call, can we do them out of order, or are they the first ones? I would really like to know how they're going to vote. I'll stop talking now.
I think we do a roll call alphabetically, or by according to the, you've got a rotating basis, which is how we'll do it. Let me go to Greg, Jim, Frank. Greg, you got the numbers?
Sure. The typo errors were the result of us renumbering the districts when we did the last round of maps for what is presented on the Wallace 14CV3 and then what was remapped for the districts for 14CV5. So when the numbers were prepared and presented, we got a little bit confused in the numbers in the districts. So my apologies there. The correct numbers for the maps that were most recently distributed, the four legislative districts for the city of Ithaca, the first legislative district has a deviation of 3.8. The second, a deviation of 3.00. The third, a deviation of 3.32. And the fourth, a deviation of 3.57. Two of those legislative district numbers in the city were changed. Two were not.
Greg, that's what you handed out.
Okay, that's what you see. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to clarify so that looking at my spreadsheet to make sure that is correct.
So you did it right.
So it was right the first time. However, I have one other confession here. It looks as if the total deviation, unfortunately, on 14CV3 Rev 1, I just need to disclose this, at 8.9, for the same reason, it should be 9.15. It's the same thing. The deviation did not change between V3 and V5. So that's a typo on there as well. So that stays the same. My apologies.
I'm not sure I'm any good.
So the version that is described in the local law has a deviation of 9.15, which is the same deviation as the previous version of 14CV5. So the district that had the highest deviation and the lowest on the range did not change between those two versions. But again, we got confused, I think, in the numbering sequence when we produced the last version of the map. So, okay, my apologies.
Hank, did you want to say something? Okay. Jim, Frank, and Will, and Carol.
Can we just clarify that when we heard that there's no difference between 5 and 3, is that what I heard?
In deviation.
In deviation.
Right. It's 9.15.
Okay.
Greg, if you prepared to put that map much bigger on the board so that we can look at it more carefully.
You know, no, we've been doing this for an hour and a half already, and we all have them. Okay. I've got Jim and then Frank.
Isn't that interesting?
Carol, what do you need? You've got it in your hands.
I'd just like to clarify here. Who is entitled to ask Greg to answer a question?
Okay, go ahead and ask Greg.
Okay. Is it possible to have you? Is that your computer? Are you equipped to put on the board the map so that we can actually see it? I have a question about.
Okay. You're not. I'll add you to the list. I've got Jim and then Frank. And I
had my hand up while he was on. I thought he was still on the floor.
I'll go to Jim and Frank and then Carol.
My question was, Brian made a motion to call the question, and it never got recognized.
Did you ever ask for a second? He was really nice and said he was going to.
He didn't make a motion.
Oh, he didn't. You didn't make a motion, is that right?
Can I get in line?
You're going to be in line. All right. So that was it, Jim?
Yeah, because I can see where this is all going. But,
yeah. Okay. I've got Frank, Carol, and Brian.
Thanks, Martha. I want to go back to something for my own clarification that Mike Lane mentioned. If we vote in favor and it passes of the proposed amendment, Pam's amendment, are we then circumventing the process of sending the item back to the independent commission? Because my understanding is we have not sent them something to consider. What you read before said we could send something to them once. And to my recollection is we haven't sent them anything yet.
Are you directing that to me?
Yeah.
The way I read this substitute, it simply says to hold, we will now have a public hearing on the other version.
No, but what I'm asking is, if we approve this revision, are we circumventing the process we set up? And I think earlier this evening you said yes.
I believe absolutely we're circumventing it.
So in your memory, have we sent any revision back to the independent commission?
No.
For reconsideration? Okay. Then, Madam Chair, at the appropriate time, I'd like to offer an amendment to this.
Since I have a little birdie told me somebody might call a question.
Why don't I offer that amendment now? Thank you. I'd like to amend the proposed revision so that we can send both the proposed revision and the proposal from the independent commission back to the independent commission for reconsideration.
Everybody understand that? Is there a second? Second by Will.
I'm not sure I understood it. Say it again.
Wait. Not that.
What lines in here change?
I think the resolve changes. Not that we hold a public hearing on a different version, but that we follow the other step in the process, which would require, according to the charge, that we develop written comments and send those comments back to the commission. Right? Is that what you mean, Frank?
You got it. Thanks.
Okay. I'm just trying to consider whether I would consider that friendly or not.
I think we'll second it. Thank you.
All right. While you think, Carol. You're next.
Our normal procedure would be to figure out whether the mover and the seconder think that amendment is friendly to them.
You're next. I've got you next. So it's your turn.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, while we had Greg up there, to see, so that we can actually see them exactly what happened to, I believe it is District 4 there. I can't see from here what's on the board there, but what I have in front of me here, District 4 has a little section in it that seems, the line seems to go fairly, that is a long, thin line where District 5 goes into District 4, and I wanted to ask that Greg.
What's on the table, Carol, what's on the table is whether we should provide written comments and send them back to the commission.
And it's not on the table if it's not friendly.
That's what's on the table. So I don't know what you're saying about district, about the map is not germane. I think it's not germane to whether we send this back to, whether Frank's amendment. Did you want to speak on Frank's amendment?
When I drafted the original amendment, it was with the understanding that the commission had already weighed in on version 5 by sending it to us to begin with. So it doesn't make any sense to me to send it back to them for further consideration because we already know that they found it a viable choice.
Okay, Brian?
We're talking about an amendment. And to have it, the question called on the amendment at this point seems really unfortunate because I'm not sure that Mike's interpretation of the charge, which says may, is correct when we also have rules for the legislature that say after a public hearing, we may do other things like change it and have another public hearing. And I guess I'd like to ask our county attorney to weigh in on this. I have no idea what
to say. Brian hasn't called the question yet. And I know that's what he said before Frank made his amendment. But I also kind of trust Brian, that he knows that this is a new idea. So, by the way, even if he did make that amendment, we could fail to second that. Or vote it down. All right? What?
I had a point of order.
We could vote down the calling the question. So.
Vote down calling.
All right.
What's on the floor now?
The amendment.
Frank's amendment.
The amendment, which would send this back to the commission with our written comments.
So I have a point.
What was your point of order?
That question is that. Let's see, there's no dispute that this legislature is not by law required to follow the charge that we wrote down there. We certainly have a perfect right to do something other than what's written. So that's clear to me. But the second is that if we're going to abide by that proposal, it seems to me that Frank's amendment does not abide by it because we don't have any written comments to send back to them at this point. It would seem to me that we have to develop some written comments if we're going to do that. So that was my point of order.
I think what's intended is that then there would be written comments developed and we'd have to come up with a process for accepting those comments as the body's comments. Okay, so that's not all written out in here, but we would do that. Got Brian, Jim, Dooley, and Kathy.
I'm going to disappoint you and not do what I said I was going to do because we have all this stuff, for lack of a better word, going on, and I think I heard fairly loud and clear right at the onset of this discussion that the independent commission unanimously voted for V3 revision 1 after that they already knew about version 5. So for us to think we're going to send it back there and have them forward to us anything different, I guess I didn't hear that at all. And it would probably, you know, given the procedure that we have to go by, we could do that formality, but unless I miss something, I think we know what the answer is. This is me talking out loud based on what I've been hearing all night. And that anything other than that will be legislative change and will be political and won't be independent. That's the way I see it.
Okay, Jim.
I will just add to that. Not only won't be all those things, but obviously we're not going to be happy until they change to a majority of the people's feelings here. So, you know, if it goes back and it comes back like it is now, then people are going to be unhappy about that, and it will go on and on. It could go on forever, it's really just dismay. Ultimate dismay here that we can't make a decision on a simple thing like even sending something to a committee. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Okay, I've got you, Frank. Dooley, Kathy, and then Frank.
I asked for the county attorney to weigh in on our options. I agree with what Peter said. We're not bound by a charge, but I also am not sure I agree with Mike's interpretation of the charge. And I'm wondering if the county attorney can shed any light on our choices at this point.
John?
Well, I mean, I think the choices are clear. I mean, you have, you know, an amendment to an amendment on the table. You can vote for it or against it, and then that would amend the amendment, and you can vote for or against that, and then if that doesn't pass, you can vote for or against the main motion. You know, obviously...
That was not my question.
No, I understand, but... obviously one does not have to follow, as Peter said, what was set out in the original charge. And frankly, I think you can do either. I think the original notion, I think as Mike says, was that if the legislature had an issue with it, then it would be returned to the commission. But like Brian says, if that's the issue, I think the commission has already spoken to that, so that would seemingly be a futile act at this point, to be frank. So, you know, I'm not really sure how to comment on it more. I mean, I think Mike does capture what the original intent was. But under the circumstances, when we're talking, you know, about two versions, which they've already seen, I'm not sure that would make a lot of sense, to be honest.
So the original amendment was not out of order, and Frank's amendment is fine, too.
I don't think either are out of order. No.
Thank you.
But you have to vote on.
Okay. Kathy, Frank, and Will.
Thank you. The way I see it, the amendment as proposed by Mr. Proto, in my opinion, it would just delay the process and make what could be a clean decision linger on for a long time. That's not my intent, so I'll be voting against the amendment.
Okay, Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a body that prides itself on process, I can't imagine that we wouldn't follow the process that we set up. Not to pick on Peter too much tonight about ethics and corruption and whatever, this sounds like we might proceed with, if we don't like the rules, we'll change the rules. We set up a process. Maybe it's not local law, but we set up a process that would hopefully give us some independent thinking, and it has. One of the items that Mike read in that charge was, even though we may send back an item to the independent commission with comments, they are not up. We have to be prepared for them to resubmit the same, excuse me for disagreeing, Jim, but the same item that's on the floor that was originally on the floor tonight, item V3. They may send back the revision, V5, or they may opt not to do anything and leave it entirely up to us. That's what I understood from reading from the hearing that Mike read with the charge. And I, not to sound sarcastic, but I've heard from most of you throughout the year about how transparent we want to be and how process-oriented we need to be. If we approve the revision that Pam has submitted, and some of us have been approached about doing that, I think it's worth at least considering. We're circumventing the process we set up, and that bothers me. Whether you're going to support the revision or not, I think we ought to at least make an attempt to follow the process we set up, even if it comes back, as Brian has already said, with the same outcome that some of you perceive has already been submitted. Thank you.
Will, Jim, Pat, and I'd like to say something, too.
Thank you, Martha. Frank said much of what I was going to say, but to answer the question that, that Brian raised, you know, what's the point? They've already considered. Well, they had not had the benefit of the hearing. We only tonight heard about the fact that there's essentially no real difference in the deviation numbers. I want to follow the process. I want to give them another chance to take a look at it. Taking those under consideration, I'm fully prepared for them to come back with a recommendation either way, and then I think we should, as a body, make our own decision. But I will support the amendment, and I hope we all do.
Jim,
let me maybe someone can make it clear. What we're going to send back is two things they've already looked at. Am I right in thinking that?
Yes, it would in addition, written comments that would have to be developed.
Right, written comments by us and four people who showed up at a public hearing.
Is that the way it is? In other words, the two things that we would send back to them are things they've already looked at.
Right.
They have the benefit of a few people coming to a public hearing,
right,
and any new written comment. So nothing, right, no new information, essentially,
that's correct,
four or five public comments.
Peter, I have you down. Is there some...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Jim?
No. That's fine.
Okay. Pat, and me, and then Peter.
I agree with you, Frank, that we need to follow the process. But my understanding of the process is that the point at which we would exercise the option to send something back to the commission would be at the point when we have reduced our choices to one, not when we still have two basically on the table, which is, to my way of thinking, we have the option of accepting, if we vote down your amendment, we have the option of accepting the amendment that we have that came in our red packet, or we can vote that down, and we would still have the option of voting on the resolution that's in our packet. And I feel that it's premature to try to make a decision about whether or not we want to send this back to the committee until we have made a decision about either the original resolution or the amendment that's on the table to that resolution. So I will be opposing the motion to send both of these back to the committee, because my preference and what I think was the intent of the process that we set up would be that we vote on, Robert's rules say we would have to vote first on the resolution of the First Amendment, then depending on the outcome of that, if it's accepted, then we can decide whether we want to, what we want to do, or we can vote that down and then we can go back to the resolution that's in our packet. If we vote down the resolution that was in our packet, then is when I think that it should go back to the commission, not at this point.
Okay. I'm going to take a little turn here. I said the planning department, we would drop what we were doing when they came in. I thought we would be finished this. I think we're going to finish this first. So I want to say this is obviously hard. And I think there's nothing that's going to satisfy everybody. But that's why we vote. I think that there's, as Hank said, no perfect solution. I think the commission did an amazing job, and I think they're ready to be done. I think they have considered many, many, many more things than we have heard, many more things than were said at the public hearing. They've considered everything, I think, six ways from Sunday. Since our last meeting, before I spoke with Hank over the phone, or especially since I heard Hank tonight, I had the idea, well, maybe they didn't really consider it, or maybe we should send it back in the same way that Frank is suggesting. What I heard from Hank tonight convinces me that there's nothing new here that they haven't heard. So we could choose to spend, dare I say, an agonizing amount of time coming up with and agreeing on written comments to send to them. That's what we'd have to do if Frank's amendment passes. We could do that. And then they could meet and probably meet for 5 minutes and say, yeah, we haven't changed our minds. And then we'd come back again and do this again. And I don't think anybody else would be any more satisfied than they might be right now. So, even though before, you know, before tonight, I had thought perhaps, Frank, your amendment would be a good option. I don't feel that would be productive anymore, and I think we should accept their recommendation. So that's my, that's what I have to say. I've got Peter, Jim, and then Carol.
I've been very uncomfortable with this whole business about sending it back, because I think you have to send it back with a message that you've not just, hey, just take a look at this again. That makes no sense whatsoever. And but then Will said something, and I may not agree with it, but I think it's a reasonable thing. Take a look at it in the light of what was said at the public meeting that we had at the last meeting. Okay, that seems to me to be a legitimate thing to ask. But then I wondered, Hank, you now know what was said at the last meeting. Is there anything new that was said at the last meeting that wasn't said by somebody before? Is there something you got to chew over, some insight that was given at the public hearing that you know might affect the people's views in this or not? Or are these things that you've heard before?
Well, first of all, Peter, I can't speak for all nine members of the commission. I have read the notes that were provided on the public hearing, read the testimony of not only my fellow commissioners, but the former county legislators that have been mentioned this evening. For the most part, they all spoke to the commission. The comments of Nancy Schuler, John Marcham, I don't recall that Stuart Stein came to any of the public hearings of the commission or any of our meetings. But the comments are generally ones that we've heard before. What we would not have are your written comments. And your written comments may be different. And if you gave them to us, then we would consider them seriously and make a judgment.
Okay, so if I could just respond briefly to that, then I will vote against doing this, because frankly, I think the likelihood of us coming up with a set of written comments that at open meeting we discuss and the language, this, that, and the other thing, and come up with something we agree in, it just is not going to happen. I don't see that happening. And I think that Hank's response makes me vote against your proposal, because I don't think there's anything new that is likely to change the minds of the people that listen.
Okay, Jim?
I don't think deviation numbers are the issue at all. I think it's 9 or 10 versus 4 sliver districts and the implications of that. And I think we've already heard what that means in terms of election districts around the city and the county, and to me it's about that. It's not about 9.1 or 8.9. So I'm not going to support Frank's resolution, though.
Carol? I was just trying to stay in line to get my questions answered by Greg at some point. I don't know if now is the right point, but I do believe that I was told that question should be deferred.
If they have to do with whether we are going to send this back to the commission or not, with our written comments.
No, but I don't want to.
No, if
request to be.
No, we'll vote up or down on this, and then that'll be done. And then, I mean, if we vote to send it to the commission, I think we're done for the night, except to figure out how we come up with written comments. If so, you're on the next list, okay, Carol? All right, I'm going to take a wild guess here and think that we probably have said all there is to say about Frank's amendment. I hope we aren't hurting any feelings by going to a vote. Okay. Frank's amendment is to send the issue back to, it's an amendment of the amendment. We don't have it written, so the intent is to send this back to the commission per the charge, per the instructions in the charge, send this back to the commission with our written written comments is the word. Is that right, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that fails 7-8. What's on the table now is the amendment that Carol moved, Pam second, whichever way it was. So we're back to that. And Carol, I assume your questions are germane to this.
Yes. I still would speak in favor of the original amendment, the one that's on the floor now, to have both of those choices go to the stage of having a full description. Part of the reason for that is that I am very confused about the maps that we've been handed. I have two different maps that are called 14C V3 Revision 1 that look different from each other. And so I would like the opportunity for us to be able to, I can show you, I can pass them around. Here they are. One of them has a line that comes into the pink area in the city from the orange area to the pink, and the other one doesn't. It isn't clear to me that we're all understanding exactly what the maps are. We had only a very short period of time when Greg brought them to us on the floor when we sent this to the public hearing.
Carol, the amendment is not to send two.
Thank God.
There aren't any. We have one. We've had a hearing. I would like the other one to have the same opportunity to be written up in full description,
right,
for us to have what we have in a complete package was the 14C V3 revised on our tables. Now I would like to have the same consideration to 14C V5.
Right. That doesn't, I think, have anything to do with the pink area on that one, because that's V3.
Well,
yes or no?
The advantage of going to a public hearing with the full description on the other one is that we would have the opportunity to look at the final full package that we have on our table tonight and the final full package.
Okay.
So that's requested at the last meeting several times.
But so you're not saying, okay. So you're asking for clarification on version 3, is that right? And you're saying your comment in support of your amendment is that we haven't had that full lengthy legal description of version 5.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Okay. Jim and then Kathy.
I would like to call the question.
My comment is relevant to what Carol just said.
Okay. So maybe there won't be a second. Is there a second? Mike seconds that.
Point of order, calling the question on what?
What's the question?
The question on the table is the proposed amendment.
Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank
okay.
you.
And, all right. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
Roll call, please.
What, Mike?
Roll call.
Roll call to call the question on this resolution, motion.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Oh, yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Mackesy?
No.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
No. All right, the question is called at, I have 9-6.
9 ayes, 6 noes.
Okay, so it's time to vote on resolution, the amendment here that you have that would send, would go to another public hearing with version. Map 14C, version 5, would be sent to a public hearing on September 18th. There's no debate. We've already called the question.
As written, no changes to it.
This is, I haven't heard any language changes to what was in our packet, right? Okay. Okay. All in favor of the...
Roll call, please.
Roll call.
We're voting now on the amendment, is that correct?
That's right.
Thank you.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
No.
No. Did you say no?
I said no.
Mr. Robison?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
No.
Mr. Stein?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yeah, no.
Darn. Almost got you there.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Six ayes, nine noes.
Six ayes, nine noes. The amendment fails. What's on the table now, and I see you, Peter, then Carol, is the original adoption of Local Law A that's in your packet. Peter, then Carol.
I'd like to move the question.
You can call the question?
Yeah.
All right. Is there a second? Jim seconds.
Point of information.
Yes.
I still think that we have two different maps of 14C V3 on our desks. Here they are. I can pass them around. And I would like to have Greg show us which is the actual map, and I would like to pass around the fact that we have two different maps labeled the
okay.
same thing.
Greg?
I think that we can do nothing other than table this. I'd
okay.
like to table this.
Greg, we hear the question, Carol.
All of us can become familiar with what's actually
Do you map. Have it on the computer?
The legislators did ask for it at the last meeting.
The series of maps that are presented with the legal description are correct.
Can they be put up on the screen so that the public as well as the legislators can have an opportunity to evaluate both the version 5, which was under discussion, and the version 3? There's never been an opportunity for the public to see what we've been discussing for an hour.
All right, version 5 is on the table.
Much interest, and it would have been helpful to have that opportunity. It was requested.
I would remind you, the question has been called. I have
having an opportunity.
I have allowed
and compare them.
I've allowed this point of clarification.
As long as we're talking about
process, I've been trying to ask Greg to put them on the computer. You have it, Greg? All right. I am going to call a 5-minute recess. We've been sitting here too long anyway. Brian?
Just one thing. It speaks to this. The only difference is the demarcation of the actual legislative districts, the number in the legislative district.
No, the line is different. Look at this section I circled.
Speaking
okay.
of gerrymandering,
okay.
that little dip there.
All right, we are in recess.